Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Kamma, Daf Pei Tes. We will begin on Daf Pei Ches Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom, Amar of Idi Barovin. At the end of the previous shiur, our Gemara introduced us to one of the Takanas Usha, that Chazal established that the rule is, we know that a woman, as she gets married to a husband in Halacha, has two different types of properties that she could bring into the marriage. Nichsi Malug and Nichsi Tzoyim Basel. Nichsi Malug, the actual property remains hers, but the husband eats the peiros of the Nichsi Malug. Nichsi Tzoyim Basel, we assess their value at the time of the marriage. And then when the marriage ends, if he dies before her or he divorces her, whatever the evaluation was, the worth of those nechassim, he has to pay her when the marriage terminates. And we learned in the previous year that the Takanas Usha was that if a wife sold the nechsi malug that she brought into the marriage while they were married and she predeceases her husband, the sale is invalid, and this husband takes back those assets, and the lekuchas, those that purchased those nechsi malug, have no claim to these properties. So says the Gemara, Amar of Adon Ravidi Bar Oven, Afanan Namitnina. We actually have a raya from a brisa to this concept of the Takana Susha, because the brisa discusses a situation. Meidim anu be'ish ploini, shigiris es ishtai. Somebody, two eidim walk in and say that this husband divorced his wife, v'nosen ksubasa, and that he paid the ksuba, as is the halacha when a couple gets divorced. V'arei hi tachtov v'msham shesai. But actually it's not true. They're still Baruch Shem happily married. And v'nimtsu zayimin. And these eidim that said testimony that they're divorced actually turn out to be Edom Zomim. And we know, as we have discussed, the halacha is that the punishment of Edom Zomim, what they wanted to do should happen to them. And since they wanted, ostensibly, that the husband should have to pay the ksuba, because if they were getting divorced, he would have to pay the ksuba, we say that they, at first glance, we would say that the punishment they should get is that they should have to pay the husband the ksuba that they wanted him to have to pay, not rightfully. Says the Braisa that is not the din. Ain oimrim yishalmu kol ksubasa. They don't have to pay the entire value of the ksuba. Why? Because when do we administer kasha zomam? When what they wanted to do would have certainly happened. What's the classic case? The classic case is two Edom come in and say that Reuven killed Shimon. If we were to accept their testimony, Reuven would be Mechuyev Misa. Kasha Zomim says that the Edom should get killed. Here, it's not for sure that the husband would ever have to pay the ksuba, because you only pay a ksuba if you divorce your wife or if the husband dies before the wife. But it may be that the wife will die before the husband. So we can't make them pay the ksuba. That's what the Braisa says at this point. A number of interesting points. Rashi points out that the entire discussion that we're having, that the Braisa is discussing, is only in a situation where the husband is only in a situation where they're still together. Because let's say the halacha, what would be the case if Edom Zomim say that he did divorce his wife, and they actually are separated, they actually are divorced, but they can't be Edom to say that they got divorced at this time in this place, because they were elsewhere, there, they would actually have to pay the ksuba. Because since they actually did get divorced, so the husband does have to pay the ksuba, and by them saying through Edom Zomim that they are divorced, they would have to pay the ksuba. Furthermore, interesting
question that the stipler asks. He asks in the Kilos Yaakov, the halacha is, the Gemara says, Mesech the Makas, Vasisam loy kasha zomam lasis l'ochiv, kasha zomam v'loy kasha osa. Only what he planned to do, but not what they actually did. So, in other words, going back to the example we gave a moment ago, let's say this person, this alleged murderer, was killed based on their testimony, and then they're identified as Adam Zomim. They don't get killed. It's only what Kasha Zomam, what they wanted to do, but not if they actually accomplished. So they ask, over here, they've actually accomplished. What did they want? They wanted that he, to say that he paid a ksuba, and actually, but that he divorced and he had to pay a ksuba. And what happened? That he didn't pay the ksuba. So isn't that kasher osa? They want that he should have to pay, and he didn't pay. So why isn't that considered that it was already done? And if it was already done, we don't administer. So the stipler answers, what is pshat that the punishment was carried out? The pshat that the punishment was carried out was that the alleged murderer was killed. Here he didn't do anything. He just kept money in his pocket that he had all along. That's not called kasher osa. But, says the Gemara, even though they don't have to pay her the value of the ksuba, why, as we explained, because maybe the husband will never have to pay the ksuba, el toivus hanoz ksuba, they do have to pay. What does toivus hanoz ksuba mean? Eiz a toivus hanoz ksuba, so what does that mean? Says the Gemara, oimdim kama odam roitz alitim b'ksubasa shazu, shim nis amla nisgasha v'mesa yirshanabala. Which means as follows. A ksuba, there's a market for selling ksubas. A wife could sell a ksuba. Now obviously anybody that's going to buy a ksuba is going to buy it at a deep discount. Because, first of all, we don't know how long the marriage will continue. Furthermore, if she dies before him, there won't be any ksuba obligation. So the Gemara is saying that a woman could sell the ksuba, the woman could sell the nechsi malug, at the deep discount, that's called the Toivus Hanoa. But since she could sell it for that amount, and now by them saying that Kasha Zomam, that much they should have to pay. V'sal k'daitach. However, says the Gemara, if we're going to say, Leis l'tekernes usha, if we're going to say that there is no tekernes usha, why is it that I'm Yerushana Bala, that a woman can't get too much for a ksuba? Because in case she dies before her husband, the husband gets the whole ksuba, and therefore anybody buying the ksuba is taking a gamble. Tazmik zimbul lagamri. She should be able to sell a ksuba. She should be able to sell the nechsi malug if the halacha is that the sale by the wife of the nechsi malug is a valid sale. The fact that the braisa went out of its way to say that all she could get is the toivus hanoa, but not the full value, is a clear indication that the braisa holds that she can't make a legitimate sale of the nechsi malug that should be valid for after she dies. Amar Abaya, so says Abaya, im amar b'nechsi malug, yomar b'nechsi tzoyim barzel, nechsi malug, takanas usha says she can't sell. But maybe nechsi tzoyim barzel she can't sell. Because a nechsi tzoyim barzel, as we explained at the beginning of the shiur, are hers. And therefore, the Gemara is suggesting, that's what we're referring to. Amar Abaya, Toivus Hanoa Hoyel V'Osel Yodin, since we're discussing the subject of Toivus Hanoa, name of a milsa, let's expound on it a little. Toivus Hanoa L'Isha Hava. Who gets the Toivus Hanoa? The wife. Disak Daitach, Lebal Havya, if we're going to say that the husband collects the Toivus Hanoa, again, let's think about the case. These two Edom came in and said that this couple got divorced and she collected a ksuba already. It turns out that the Edom Zomim. What did the Gemara say? That how much do the Edom have to pay as a punishment of Kasha Zomam? The amount that she would have gotten for the ksuba. What is the amount that she would have gotten for the ksuba? The value of the Toivus Hanoa. But that only makes sense if she keeps the Tovus Hanor money. Because if she doesn't keep the Tovus Hanor money, so there's no Kasha Zomam. What does Kasha Zomam say? That what happens to the Edim is what they wanted to do to the victim. But if she wouldn't have gotten the money anyway, so there's no Kasha Zomam. There's no concept here. What we wanted to do to you happens to us. She wouldn't have gotten the money anyway. Let's read the Gemara. If we're going to say that when a wife sells the ksuba for the Tovus Hanor value, lebal hava, that money goes to the husband, lemer la edim, then the edim should say, why should we pay you even the Tovus Hanor value? Mayev sendincha, what loss have we done to you? Ihav mezamsle the Tovus Hanor, because even if were you to sell it for the Tovus Hanor, you wouldn't have kept that money. Bal hava shokel minach, your husband would have taken it, and therefore we don't owe you anything because we didn't harm you, or we didn't even attempt to harm you. So I saw that the Nesivus says, based on the Gemara, a gevaldige chiddush. He says when we evaluate hezek, we would assume that, let's say, this table belongs to you, and I'm mazik your table. So what do I have to do? We have to assess the value of the table. And since you're the owner of the table, I have to pay you whatever it costs, whatever the table's worth. Says the Gemara, that's not true. What we see from here, says the Nesivus, that we only assess it at what the table is worth to you. So let's say it has one value to you and has another value to the rest of the world. We don't take the value it has to the rest of the world. We take what it has to you. And in this case, the Gemara is arguing the wife has actually no value because she wouldn't keep the money that it was sold for. Then they won't have to pay for her for hurting her, causing her a loss, because there's no loss involved. Where did the shaila come up? I saw a very interesting shaila. Let's say I broke a pair of eyeglasses that you own. Pair of eyeglasses you owned a couple of years ago, but your prescription changed. And today, those eyeglasses are worthless to you because you couldn't wear them. But the eyeglasses have a value. It may be a very nice frame, maybe very good lenses. Do I have to pay on that? And they're based on the Nesivus. We have to look at what it's worth to you. And to you, it has no value because you can't wear these glasses. And therefore, perhaps I wouldn't have to pay you at all, the Paiskim suggests. Says the Gemara, Amar Shalman, that's not true. Even if we'll say that when she sells the ksuba for the Tovus Hanor, it's not that she keeps the money. The money goes to her husband, but she's a beneficiary from that. Because the more money a woman's husband has, the more she has. There's more money in the house. It's better in the house. Amar Sham Shemdik Ravach Pesa. So therefore, she is somebody who's losing if she can't sell a ksuba for Tovus Hanor, because she's a beneficiary of it, and therefore that's what they have to pay her. Ask the Sefer Torah Chaim a Gvaldig Kasha. The value that she benefits is not equal to the Ravach Pesa. That means like this: if somebody's husband earns $1,000 extra. That's this case. Let's say the Tovus Hanor was sold for $1,000. That doesn't mean that he's going to take that entire $1,000 and put it into the house. He'll take a percentage of that and say, you know what? I have more money. I can be more generous. So he'll, let's say, use only 50% of that $1,000. In other words, if the husband got a $1,000 bonus, doesn't mean he's going to take that entire $1,000 bonus and use it for the home. Take 50%, let's say. So maybe you should take. So she only should get the amount of the Tovus Hanor that would be brought into the house. Why does she get the entire Tovus Hanor? The Gemara is saying that since she gains, she gets the entire Tovus Hanor. Why the entire? It should only be that portion that it comes into the whole household. So Teretz Chaim says a beautiful Teretz. He says like this: everything is connected. She will only get this much Revach Beisa if there's that much Tovus Hanor. So the Revach Beisa is directly connected to the Tovus Hanor. And therefore, she's entitled to entire Tovus Hanah, because entire Tovus Hanah influences the entire Revach Beisah. Amar Rava, says Rava, Hilchasa Tovus Hanah Isha, the Tovus Hanah that a woman sells her ksuba goes to the woman, then Eichel Baal Eichel Peres. And a husband, even though, as we said at the beginning of the shiur, Nichsi Malug, that a wife brings into a marriage, the husband eats the Peres, here she doesn't eat the Peres. My Tama, Peri the Kinnelar Abonin, Peri the Peralik the Kinnelar Abonin. Only the Peres of the Nichsi Malug are the husband entitled to, but not anything else. So the Rishayim ask, that we learned the Gemara Masech the Ksubis. The Gemara Masech the Ksubis discusses that a husband could tell a wife, Din Udvarm Ainli, but Nechasayich, Upeperiseyim, Upeperiseyim. And if he makes such a statement that he separates himself from all of that, it's a valid statement. So ask the Rishonim, if our Gemara just told us that the husband is anyway not entitled to the Peripeiris, what is that statement? What do you have to mention Peripeiris saying? He's not supposed to get it anyway. So the Rishonim give a number of answers. One answer is that there are two types of Peripeiris. Sometimes the Peripeiris that are directly a result of the Nechsi Malog. What does that mean? Let's say the wife brings in a field with trees, and those trees produce whatever, and we plant that fruit, and we have more trees, even though it's peri-peris that the husband gets, because it all emanates directly from the actual nechsi malug. When our Gemara says that the husband is not entitled to the peri-peris, it's not talking about the actual nechsi malug produced it. She sold the ksuba. She got money, and that money is producing peiris. That's not the same peiris that the Gemara Masechta Ksubis discusses. Another pshat is there again. There are two types of peiris saying. The results may be the same, just the lomdish is different. Meaning as follows. Peiris saying means it's very natural that if you have a field, and you have trees, and they produce produce, and you plant those produce, that's the way the world works. So that peri-peri-seyim, even though the second generation is actually, of course, in the category of peri-peri-seyim, but that's a normal course of events. And therefore, the husband is entitled to those peri-peri-seyim, unless he explicitly separates by saying, didn't varm ainli bim nechoseicha, peri-peri-seyim. However, in a situation where something extraordinary, not in the regular course of events, happened. For example, Al Gemara, where she went and she sold the ksuba for the Tovus Hanah. Or a case like Kefil, where it was stolen, and she gets Kefil, which is an extraordinary event, there, the husband's not entitled to peri-peri-seyim. Says the Gemara, Kios Rapov Rafuna Bered Rivishum Beirav, Amri, Tanina L'Tekul Nesusha. I bring you a brisa that clearly indicates that the Tekul Nesusha is effective. The brisa says, however, we learned in our Mishnah, however, the Isha begiyos and raw. Getting into an accident with an Eved or Isha is not great. It's never great to get into an accident, but particularly with them. Hachayv behen, if somebody does damage to them, he's chayiv. However, v'hem shachal b'chayim p'turim. Why? So when we learned the Mishnah just yesterday, we explained, because a wife or an Eved Kanani don't have any independent assets that they could use to pay the person that they injured. Now ask the Gemara, if we're going to suggest that there is no tikkunus usha, why not? Why don't we let her, if she is allowed to sell a nechsi malug, we should force the wife to sell the nechsi malug, and now she has money to give to her victim. The fact that the Mishnah says that she doesn't have any money is a clear indication that the Karnas Usha kicks in that doesn't allow that deal to happen. Ask the Gemara, Ultamech. Even if you're right, we accept that there is the Karnas Usha. And therefore, she can't sell it because that sale is invalid, but why shouldn't we force her? Tizbil and Nechsi Malug, Betovus Hanah. Why can't we force her to sell it for the Tovus Hanah, Betitin Lay, and that money that we just spoke about in Tapir Amid, that she gets for the Taivas Ano, she should have to give to a victim. Ella, we must be explaining the Lesla. You know what the case of the Mishnah is? That she doesn't have any Nechsim Malug. It could well be the Gemara is suggesting that if a wife had Nechsim Malug, we would force her to sell the Nechsim Malug for Taivas Ano. And whatever that brings in, she'll give to the victim. But we're talking about a woman who didn't bring any Nechsim Malug into the marriage. Hachanam de Lesla. Ask the Gemara, we could say that a woman doesn't have Nechsim Malug. Not every woman brings Nechsim Malug into a marriage. But every wife has a ksuba. So why should we not be able to force her to sell the ksuba for a Toivus HaNor payment, as we defined it on Tapir Amid, and that payment she should have to give to the husband. V'tazmin ksubas v'toivus HaNor v'titan lo, give it to the victim. Answers the Gemara, that is not a suggestion. Because Hamani, who is the Tan of our Mishnah? Ramehi. The Omar, Oslo Adam Shishas Ishtoi, Afila Sha'ach Splay Ksuba. It's not an option for a wife to remain without a Ksuba. You're not allowed to remain without a wife, with a wife without a Ksuba. And therefore, it wouldn't work that she should sell off a Ksuba. Because then she can't remain with her husband. Why were Chazal Makbid that a wife should not be allowed to remain without a ksuba? The reason a couple, a chazal, established a ksuba is because a husband may get angry at his wife. And in his anger, I'll divorce you. But if it's going to cost him, then he may think twice. So that's why she can't sell the ksuba, because they can't remain without a ksuba. The Paiskim say that Bizman Hazeh, that we know that every wife is entitled to a ksuba, even if she doesn't have the actual document, it may not be that they can't remain together. Because we know that every wife is entitled to the ksuba, even if she can't produce the document. But certainly, Mekar Hadin, a wife should have the actual document, and without the actual document in her possession, they shouldn't remain together. In fact, if a couple, it could happen, the wife loses the ksuba, they can be married for many years, the right thing to do is to rewrite a ksuba. There is an interesting discussion amongst the Paiskim where the ksuba should be kept. I saw that there was a minig in Yerushalayim that the ksuba was kept by the wife's parents, not in their own home. Because what's our concern? That he's going to take away a ksuba, and then if their marriage ends, and she takes out the ksuba pay, say, I already paid you. So she didn't keep it in the house where he could take it. They kept it elsewhere by her parents. Rav Moshe makes a distinction. You have to look, it's an interesting distinction, he says. You have to look at the kind of man he is. If he's an honest person that wouldn't do something like that, then leaving the ksuba at the home, even where he knows where the ksuba is kept, is not a problem. Leaving it, however, if he's not an honest person, then she should put it in a place where he doesn't know about it. Other Paiskim say, and it goes back to what I said a moment ago, since every wife is entitled to ksuba nowadays, even if she can't produce the document, leaving the ksuba in a place that he knows about is not a problem. In fact, I saw the Paiskim discuss, in certain circles, they write these beautiful, elaborate ksubas with all sorts of drawing and artwork, and it's actually hung up in the house. Now, if we think about it, we're suggesting it should be hidden. And here they're doing just the opposite of hanging it up. What's pshat? So I saw that the Shalos HaTshuvos Oz Nidbru explains. He says like this, we remember, as I said a second ago, that really she's going to get the ksuba anyway. And hanging up the ksuba is a wonderful musr to a person, he says. Because when is the ksuba, as we're learning in the entire shiur, really kick in? When the husband dies, and the wife is entitled to a ksuba payment from the husband's estate. So it keeps everybody focused what's going to happen to us, shuv yom echad lefnei misascha. Ask the Gemara, v'tamamai, what's the reason that we just said a ksuba has to be kept? kedesh lo tei kal be'en av letzia. So here, what are we saying? That she can't sell off the ksuba because she has to keep it. The deterrent remains. Hachlai megarish lo. He still won't divorce her. Because the megarish lo, even if he will divorce her, he won't have to pay her. They'll have to pay the people she sold it to. The megarish lo asa hanach desvina govlo leksubasa. So what's the difference if she has it or somebody else has it? The deterrent is still there. So our question comes back. Why should we force her to sell the ksuba for the taivas hanoa? So she'll have at least something to give to the victim. She'll have at least something to give to the victim. And the concern that we no longer have the deterrent is not a concern. We certainly still have the deterrent. Ella, says the Gemara, the reason we don't make her sell it off is for a different reason. Taivas hanoa milininu. It's just selling something which is an obligation that's not come due, or merely lo mishtabdim. And it's not something that could be sold. Ask the Gemara, Allah Malay, merely the mishtabdim and ninrinu. Since they represent a value, the fact that they're not yet due doesn't prevent it from being sold. Says the Gemara, the reason she doesn't sell the ksuba is for a different reason altogether. El shum de shmul. Dom shmul. Hamar chishta achoyv lechaveri. Interesting din. Let's say somebody owes me money. So I have a receivable. And I go and I sell that receivable to somebody else. That means you owe me money. And I sell that receivable to someone else. And now I turn around for chazra machlon. And I go and I tell you, you know what? You don't have to pay it. The halacha is machl. And not only do I have that ability, but fill yarish machl. So that's why over here, doesn't have to sell the ksuba, because what she going to do? Sell the ksuba. There's a concern that she'll be meichel the husband, the ksuba payment, and since she'll be meichel the husband, the ksuba payment, he'll end up with nothing. So there's no point in going through the charade. The Gemara is going to speak about it more in a moment. But there are two points that we have to ponder. One issue is, if she's meichel the ksuba, so we end up with a problem, that they're not allowed to remain married without a ksuba. So how could she be meichel the ksuba? So Tosfos asks the kasha, and Tosfos has two terutzim. One terutz Tosfos says is that they'll collude, they'll conspire together. And what they'll do is as follows. She'll be meichel the ksuba to the husband, and then he'll write her a new ksuba. So we solved all the issues. The customer who bought the ksuba ends up losing because she was meichel the ksuba. And she ends up keeping ksuba because they write a new one. Or Tosha says they may even go through a further charade. There's no ksuba, so they'll get divorced, and then they'll get remarried, and he'll write her a new ksuba. So she's married with a ksuba, and the customer loses out completely. So ask the Mefarshim the obvious question. And there's many opinions in the Rishonim how to respond to this question. I sell you a document. Somebody owes me money, I sell you a receivable. How do I have a right to be meichel that money afterwards? So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat is, the entire ability to sell these kind of receivables is only midrabbanim. The ability to be meichel a chayiv is a deraisa. So therefore the ability to be meichel, which is a deraisa, supersedes the sale of the document. One pshat. Another pshat, similar pshat, is that the person who I sell the document, that means you owe me money, and now I sell the document to someone else, the person now who's going to use that document to collect is not an independent party to this. Nobody ever owed him money. He really acts as a shliach of me, the malva. And therefore, I still remain in the primary position, and therefore I have a right to be meichel. Another pshat, simple pshat, is that I could always say, you know, the whole IOU was erroneous. Nobody really ever owed me money. And I'm in a position to know, because I was the person that the document was written to, and therefore Chazal can't take that ability away from me. And the last pshat is the Rebbeinu Tam's pshat. Because Rebbeinu Tam says a very interesting approach. He says in every situation where somebody owes me money, there are really two parts. There's one part is you owe me money. Whatever the amount is, money, whatever it is. And the other part is, there's a personal obligation. That if I lend you money, you owe me money. There's a personal relationship. Says Rabbeinu Tam, the cold, dry money, that can be transferred. Then instead of you paying me, you pay someone else. But the personal obligation that was created at the moment that the loan took place, that I can't sell. That's a personal relationship. It's not a transferable relationship. But these two obligations travel together. And since I couldn't sell the personal obligation to someone else, so the personal obligation remains between the original two parties. If I'm now moichel that personal relationship, the entire obligation falls apart. Ask the Gemara, Amri, Zvuni Zelvin, why shouldn't we tell her to sell the ksuba? V'titim lo, and he should pay her for the tavis kanoa. V'machla legabei bow. And if afterwards she'll be Michael the husband, as we just explained that she certainly has the ability to do so, Timcha, let her do it. But why are we saying that nothing should be done? Amri, says the Gemara, call Lagaba Bao Vadim Machlale. It's not a question that maybe she's going to be Michael the husband. She's certainly going to be Michael the husband. Vav Sidnula, who's Vina Biyadai, who loves Sidnula. So to go allow this Lokeach to pay the Taivas enough for the Ksuba, that he'll never be able to collect, is something Chazal don't want to go through with. Ask the Gemara, v'chitayma, so fine. To go tell her to sell the ksuba to a third, to outside party most likely never going to collect anything, we could understand. But let's say the following. Why shouldn't she sell it to the person who's a victim? At this point, what's he collecting? Nothing. So whatever he collects is better than nothing. V'chitayma, we should tell her to sell it to this individual that she did damage to her victim. Even if she will be Michael's husband, this obligation, he's not really losing anything. She's anyway not giving him anything. So why, at least as far as he's concerned, as Rishayim explained, there's always a chance that she may not be Michael the husband. And if she won't be Michael the husband, he will collect the ksuba. So isn't it better than nothing? And says the Gemara, Saif Saif, call the Gababal Vadi Machla. The Gemara says that a wife will certainly be Michael the husband. So this whole procedure is just one big charade, and therefore Vatruchu Bedin Bechti Lemetruchina. Ask the Gemara, Eloha the Tanya, Vechen Hi Shechavu Babala. The Braisa discusses a case where she did damage to her husband. The halacha is life sidik subasa. She can't pay him, she doesn't lose her ksuba. So the question is, am I tizbin on the alayla ksubasa labala betayvus hano? Baha chavala, she should sell it to her husband. Ah, you worry that she's going to be Michael? We don't have to worry. The machla gababal lek pseida. Because even if she's Michael, the husband will gain, no matter what. Because he's the one that would have collected the ksuba. Answers the Gemara, Havadi Ramehi. And here we have to say, Rameya, that we have to be concerned, and therefore, we are concerned that she will be, we can't allow this situation, because if she sells the ksuba, she's left without a ksuba, and the marriage can't sustain. The Tam asked the Gemara, why do we say that the couple can't remain without a ksuba? The Tamameh, as we explained earlier, we want this deterrent. Ask the Gemara, Hacha, Megarish lo, the Gavale Bechavla Mina. We learned in the Mishnah, as we've been explaining, when a woman injures someone else, it's not that she's potter from paying damages. She doesn't have money. She doesn't have from where to pay. So ask the Gemara, any time a woman injures her husband, why is there no concern that he's going to divorce her? Now what's the concern when a husband, why are we typically not concerned that a husband will divorce a wife? As we said earlier, because a divorce costs money. It costs you the ksuba. Here it won't cost them anything. Because as soon as he divorces her, and would normally have to pay the ksuba, he could turn around and say, now I keep the ksuba because you owe me money. Hacha, megarishlo, he'll divorce her. The governor bechavamina, and he'll take the ksuba payment they would normally have to give her back. Says the Gemara, ihachi hashtanam megarishlo v'gavle bechavamina. Why are we always not? So says the Gemara, if that's your concern, so what's the difference if she's selling the ksuba, not selling the ksuba? It's a legitimate concern. Says the Gemara, it's referring to a situation, the nafish ksubasa, the meshuma hu purto lemaf satuva. Let's say the ksuba is worth $1,000. Let's say the damage she did to him is $100. So he makes a simple calculation. I'll divorce her, and I won't have to give her $1,000, but I'll have to give her $900. I can deduct $100. It's not worth it. Ask the Gemara, Vida nefisha ksubasa meksuba deraisa. We know, we discussed the Masechta Ksubas, that there are two parts to the ksuba. We have it even nowadays. There's the Ikar Ksuba and the Tosfos Ksuba. The Ikar Ksuba is that when a person marries a woman that's not a psula, it's 100 mon. It's a mon, it's 100 zuz. When he marries a woman that's a psula, he has to give him a sign, 200. But then there's Tosfos Ksuba. A husband can decide to give extra. The halacha is that we keep on talking in our shir that a couple can't remain without a ksuba means they can't remain without the minimum. So now ask the Gemara, let's think about it outside, then we'll do it inside. Let's say there's a ksuba. It has the ikka ksuba, it has the taisus ksuba. So fine, we can't allow her to sell the ikka ksuba, because if she sells the ikka ksuba, we're going to have a situation that the couple's left without a ksuba. Ramey says the couple can't remain without a ksuba. But let's say we have a situation that he wrote Tosfos Ksuba. Why can't Chazal force her to sell that Tosfos Ksuba and give that money that she receives for it to the victim, particularly if the victim is her husband? I were worried that she can't remain without a ksuba. We don't have that worry because the Ikka Ksuba we haven't touched. That's the last question. Vidin nefishik ksuba miksuba deraisa, and we shouldn't point out when the Gemara uses the words ksuba deraisa, they shouldn't be taken that literally, because the concept of ksuba we really hold is only midrabanan. Ksuba deraisa, the Gemara means the ikka ksuba. Nukma ksuba deraisa. Let the ksuba deraisa not be touched. Viidach tisben neile bechavle. The rest could be sold to pay the person, to pay her victim. And it says the Gemara, we're referring to the situation to go into line of fishik subasa maksuba deraisa, where she only has a ksuba deraisa, and now we're talking about a situation to have a chavle abarzos. The entire damage that was done is only worth 4 zuz. The mishum abazozei lemaster aris v'chamisha. Like I said before, he's not going to sell a ksuba that's worth 25 zuz, which is 100. Altogether, 25 times 4, he's not going to sell it, so he should be able to save himself the 4, because he'll end up costing him 96. Ask the Gemara, El Hada Tanya. The Braisa says, K'shem Shloi Timko V'Tachtov, she's not allowed to sell the Ksuba while the Nechsimulog while they're married. Kach Loi Tivstuk V'Tachtov. So too, says the Braisa, the halacha is that she shouldn't take anything off the ksuba while they're still married. So ask the Gemara for a zimun, mishkachach lo demefsidi. There is a case where she could deduct from the ksuba. Vechi dami. What is such a circumstance? Could go into nefishik ksubas meksuba deraisa. What will be the halacha based on what we're learning in today's shir? That if the ksuba, there's the Ikka Ksuba, and there's the Tosfos Ksuba. So the Ikka Ksuba we've explained, she can't sell. Why? Because then she'll be left without a Ksuba. And we can't have a situation where a couple remains without a Ksuba. But the Tosfos Ksuba, she could sell. It doesn't affect the Ikka. So the Gemara's question is, why shouldn't that be the case? Amar Rava, say for us, Ksubas Benin Dichrin. What does Ksubas Benin Dichrin mean? As we've been learning all along, if a wife brings nechsim elug into a marriage, and the wife dies before the husband, the wife, the husband yarshins the wife. Now sometimes you have a situation and it becomes the husband's assets. When the husband dies, who gets that? His yarshin. So let's say we have a man that marries two women. And one wife brought a lot of assets into the marriage, and one wife didn't. Now these wives are concerned that, particularly the wife that brought a lot, that she may die before her husband. And then when her husband dies, all of those assets will be divided not only to her children, they'll be divided also to the children of the other wife, because they're all equal yarshim. They're all equally his sons. That's one scenario. There's another scenario. Let's say he marries two women with one wife, and they're both entitled to ksuba payment. Let's say the ksuba payment equals $10,000. But one wife had, and each ksuba is worth $10,000. A very easy scenario. Two wives, two ksubas, they're both equal $10,000. But let's say for one wife there were only two children, two sons, and for another wife, let's say there were four sons. So we didn't have the ksubas to nindichrin. What would be the din if both wives die before their husband? So now we have $20,000 of ksuba, and it's divided equally amongst the six sons. Let's say there's no bechor. Let's not get complicated with a bechor. But what is the wife with the less? So each one will get approximately $3,000-something. Let's say, but this wife says, I only had two children. The other wife had four children. So I'd like to keep the two ksubas separately. And the wife with the two children, each one of her children will get $5,000. And the other ones will get $2,500. So that's why Chazal will misak the ksubas b'nei dechren. Why? Because Chazal wanted that women, not as much the women, but rather their fathers, should be comfortable in giving a lot of nichsim elug to the couple, because they'll know that even if the wife dies before the husband, that those assets will remain in his family and they won't end up by his wife's sorrow's children. Vachitani. So now he said that the Bryce, the safe is referring to the ksuba b'nei dechren. Vachitani. And what the Bryce is saying is as follows. If she sells the ksuba to someone else, it doesn't affect the ksuba b'nei dechren. My tama. Because we say zuzahud and tzur, it's only because she was forced into the situation. Kach mecheres ksubas labala, even if she sells it to her husband, life sidik ksubasa. It doesn't affect her standing regarding ksuba. Life sidik ksubas nindakrin. Why? Because we say the same reason. My tama, we suggest zuzahud and tzur. It's only she did it because not that she wanted to lose the ksuba. Not that she wanted her children to be affected, it's only that she needed the cash, and this was a way for her to raise cash by selling her ksuba for the Taiva Sana.